I'm going to talk about long-term retention of information and skills in parent-child sexual health communication among Hispanics. And I just wanted to acknowledge my co-authors who are not here today, but I represent them as well. So I do not have any relationships to disclose. Nobody is giving me any money to do this. Brief background, we are all here talking about how parents can impact behaviors in children, in how parents play an important role as influencers. Previous research has shown that parent-child communication and connectedness is associated with decreased risk-taking behaviors in children, and including sexual risk-taking behaviors. And parents actually face many barriers in communicating information to their children, especially when it comes to the sensitive topic of sex. And there could be many reasons for it. Sometimes parents lack the knowledge. Sometimes they don't keep up to date with what the kids are talking about and what kind of terms they use. Sometimes they don't have the right communication skills to talk to their kids, or they feel that they cannot. They're not empowered enough, or they don't have the tools to talk to their kids about sensitive topics. When we come to Hispanic communities, these differences widen even more, simply because the minorities are disproportionately affected by sexual health outcomes. And there may be some social norms that play a role in communication, where they act as barriers to communication. Certain topics are taboo and just not discussed. So we have a program into Hispanic economically disadvantaged communities in border areas of Texas. These communities have about 20,000 residents and high rates of teen pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections. So our program basically wanted to enhance prevention efforts by equipping Hispanic parents so that they could talk to their kids about sexual health issues. When we went into these communities with our program, and these communities are in the El Paso County, and Fabens and San Elizario school districts are the areas that our program was in. As you can see, these communities had really high rates as compared to the state rate or as compared to the national rate when it came to teen births. Same thing with sexually transmitted infections. These communities showed really high rates being in the border areas, and we really wanted to do something at the community level to change that. So a curriculum was developed for parents called the Building Family Connections Curriculum. It was developed from previous work in the border areas. And this curriculum basically focused on providing information and skills training for parenting adults on parent-child connectedness, the goal being to increase communication between parents and kids and to increase connectedness. We also had a Spanish language version of this curriculum called Construyendo Familias Unidas. Forgive my pronunciation. since it is a predominantly Hispanic community, the parents, a lot of them were first-generation Hispanics who'd come across the border from Mexico, and they were more comfortable in Spanish. So it made sense to have a Spanish language curriculum. And we provided 10 hours of training on topics such as sexually transmitted infections, teen pregnancy, contraception, effective parent-child communication, and decision-making. We also assessed for changes in knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors through pre-post survey data. And I've already told you about the objectives for the curriculum, basically to increase knowledge of risk factors for STIs and teen pregnancy, and to improve communication between parents and children on these issues. The results, we had about 263 parenting adults who went through this curriculum and responded to surveys. So there were more people who did go through some part of the curriculum or the whole curriculum but did not respond to surveys. So I'm just going to talk about the people that we have data on. 263 parents, 24 males, 238 females. As is expected, there was more female involvement. I think most of you would have seen that in your programs as well. The age range of the parents was from 18 to 80 years. We had some grandparents in there as well who were looking after kids in those communities. The median age was 40 years. Ethnicity, mostly Hispanic. So what we did was we had pre-surveys before the parents went through the classes, post-surveys after they finished the classes, and about a year or 2 years after they had finished these classes, we got back in touch with them again to survey the parents and see how much of the information they had retained, how much of the communication they were still practicing, how often were they talking to their kids about sexual issues. And we did batches of parents every year. So the parents who'd been through these classes from 2007 to 2009 responded to follow-up surveys in 2010. So it had been 12 to 24 months since the parents had been through the classes. Of the parents who responded to the follow-up surveys, and these surveys were done over the mostly over the phone. Some parents asked for a link to the online surveys, and they were able to do the surveys online, but mostly over the phone. So follow-up responses, we got responses from 174 parenting adults, of which, again, most of them were females. The age range was 18 to 69, median was 40 years, and, of course, most of them were Hispanic. Just as a little break in between all the texty slides, this is one of the events that we have after the parents finish their classes. It's a graduation event of sorts, where the parents are invited for a dinner, and they can sit down and discuss some of their questions and some of their issues with peer mentors, who are basically college-age kids. And this serve as a sort of a bridge between kids and the parents. So if parents have any questions about why are kids behaving a certain way these days, they can ask peer mentors, hey, my kid says this to me, how do I deal with this? Or why do kids want to do something like this? So the peer mentors serve as a sort of a bridge between the parents and the kids. And that's another picture from one of our graduation ceremonies where, each parent is given a completion certificate. And we were very involved with the school, so we have some of the school administrators who participate very actively in the classes as well as in recruiting parents and keeping them involved. So what we found from our data, these are the results from our pre- and post-surveys and the follow-up surveys. And I'm showing you an item-wise analysis, basically. And what we've seen is that for some of the knowledge type of questions, the parents have, we did see a really significant increase in knowledge in the parents who attended these curriculum classes from pre-survey and post-survey. And we were pretty happy to see that even by the time of follow-up, the parents were retaining some of this information. In some cases, the knowledge level went down a little bit. Maybe the question was too technical, or maybe parents had forgotten some parts of what they had learned in the curriculum. But in some cases, it actually went up. So it could either be because they were talking with other parents about it, or they were repeating those facts, or they were more those facts made a major impact on them for some reason. So we were happy to see that they did retain quite a lot of the information that they were given during their classes. And this included information not only on anatomy and physiology, but also on the risks of teen pregnancies, on questions on dating violence, which was sort of a hidden issue, but a present issue in those communities. And then the link between dating violence and sexual activity, as well as links between abuse and sexual activity. As far as their attitudes are concerned, their attitudes basically remained at the same level. Most of these parents wanted their kids to have to be involved in sexual activity only within a committed relationship. They did, by the end of the classes, they did feel more comfortable talking to their kids about sexually transmitted infections and how to prevent them, and that level of comfort stayed even at the follow-up, at the time of the follow-up, so we were really happy to see that. There was not much change in strategies to start a conversation with youth about sex, and it could be because of the way we'd worded some questions, but we'd probably have to go back and rethink how we sought that information. We had seen an increase in frequency of communication regarding sexual health from pre-survey time to post-survey time, and these numbers are for parents who said that they talk to their kids about sexual health issues at least once a week or more than once a week. So we had seen an increase from 32% to 66% of the parents who said that. By the time of follow-up, it was still higher than baseline, but it had gone down a little bit, maybe because, I'm speculating, it was probably because they felt their job was done or they felt that they finished the conversation. but it was still much higher than what we had seen at baseline. One surprising impact that we saw from these classes was that the parents were talking to other people around them about what they had learned in these classes. So at the time of the post-survey, we had seen about more than 70% of the parents had shared some of the information with other adult family members. More than 80% had shared information with neighbors and friends. Some of them were talking to their kids about the information they got from their classes. And they were also talking to other youth, maybe their kids' friends or their nieces and nephews. By the time of follow-up, there was an increase in communication, some of this communication that parents were having with other family members, with their children, there was a huge increase, and with other youth. The response about them sharing information with neighbors and friends went down a little bit. I don't know why, but this was one of the surprising things that came out of our data. So in conclusion, we think our Spanish language curriculum is effective in increasing parent-child sexual health communication, and our parents who receive this curriculum continue to maintain a high level of knowledge and skills regarding parent-child communication and sexual health issues. And going beyond our community, going beyond our program, we all know that parental involvement in youth behaviors usually has a positive impact, and more so in the area of youth sexual health. And a curriculum such as, a curriculum that's tailored to the community, that speaks to the parents in their language, and is comprehensive in the information that it offers, can be pretty effective in increasing parent-child communication. And of course, there's further research that's needed, like looking at how programs like these impact the youth. Like, we know what's happening with the parents, but what exactly is happening with the youth once we've given this information to the parents and the parents have talked to the youth about these topics. So in the end, we all want, healthy, happy families where parents can look after their kids and provide the best environment for their kids. And that's what we're all trying to do here. If you need any more information, that's my email and phone number that you can reach me at. And I can take any questions that you have right now.
What were some of the issues that you faced in terms of recruitment? Oh. I know we always have this issue in terms of school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when it comes to parents, everybody knows that it is a challenge to recruit them and to retain them. A lot of times parents feel that they know everything that there is to know when it comes to their kids. They don't need any other information. They don't have the time to go to all of these classes. It was the same challenges. They felt they didn't have the time to come to these classes. There was other stuff going on. A lot of times it was an issue of scheduling. Like if the classes were offered in the mornings, the people who went to work couldn't come to these classes. So we did offer classes in the evenings and on Saturdays to get around those barriers. And then again, a lot of times it has to do with the topic. Our topic is a pretty sensitive topic. It talks about sex. So parents are usually hesitant to come to something that talks about sex. They don't know what information is going to be covered. But we did find that some parents were going back home and talking to their neighbors about it, so they did bring in other parents with them in future classes. And then, of course, involving males, fathers, always a challenge, because they feel it's the woman's area somehow to talk to the kids about different health behaviors, and they want to stay away from the whole communication discussion thing. So, yeah, involving fathers is a huge, huge challenge.
Thank you.